I'm Hope Duggar.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Here we go. Good Friday morning to everybody out there. You are listening to The Odds Couple. This is Anthony Padilla, joined by my buddy Brett Grant, Scott Pritchard. I don't know if he has the day off. We gave him the day off. We booted him to California, so he's on his way out of town. So this means we are going to have some real kind of fun today. I can't believe it. I mean, I'm only here once a week anyway, but I'm kind of excited that we're minus Scott today.
Is it like a recess for you?
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
The teacher's away.
But I have a feeling, just in true Scott fashion, even though he's not here, he'll probably end up calling in or something of the sort.
He's on his way to that. What am I doing here? There you go. He's on his way to Anaheim, I think, to see the Angels and the Astros, that fabulous series.
Yeah, that's weird. For a guy who doesn't watch games, he only watches numbers and statistics on his computer. I don't know why it's more fun to drive to California to sit outside in the parking lot and watch those stats on his computer versus just standing right here.
He's going to be in his car
the
whole time?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if he buys a ticket for that. But we're here. The show must go on. We're excited to talk about some stuff. Last night we had Game 5, and it's about that time we go with the Heat, who seem to be outpacing the Pacers. What say you, Brett?
Well, I tell you what, it was a game where, you know, the Pacers in the first half looked very good, and you're thinking, wow, they're going to go in there and take this thing in Game 5, which we always know is a critical game of any series, especially when the series is tied 2-2. But give LeBron and the Heat plenty of credit. In the third quarter, they came out guns a-blazing and just went on a 16-3 run.
Yep.
To take control of the game after they had tied it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because they say the cream rises to the top, and you really find out what guys are made of. Everybody was saying, you know, LeBron's going to really show up in this game. And wow, he really took that game, that team, everything on his shoulders and just turned it around.
Yeah, he did. And when you think about the big three, Bosch and Wade didn't do anything really last night. It was Udonis Haslem who was terrific yesterday in a supporting role. I think he was 8 of 9 from the floor, and LeBron had, 30 points and just took over. But it was his ability to get in the lane and kick to open jump shots, Chalmers for three or Haslem for a shot. It was LeBron last night, no question.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really amazed with how well Spoelstra gets this team ready in terms of making adjustments. It seems like any time they lose, any time it seems like, uh-oh, maybe the Heat are in a bit of trouble as much as the Heat can be, Eric Spoelstra just changes the game plan. And
well, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but now the last nine times, or the last eight times the Heat have lost a game, the next game, they're now 9-0 in those spots against the spread. So they were laying 7.5 last night, got the job done there by winning by 11. I played the Heat last night, and I also played them in the third quarter. I'm thinking they're going to come out in this third quarter and come out smoking because of the fact they played so poorly in the first half. And, you know, and defensively, Anthony, that was the other thing. They were very good in that second half defensively, really shutting down Indiana. The Pacers scored only 13 points in that third quarter.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, I really thought when that incident went down with Birdman and Tyler Hansbrough, I actually thought that was going to benefit the Pacers a little bit more, and it seemed to kind of charge the Heat.
Got Birdman versus Psycho.
Yeah. Did you see that?
I did not see it live, no.
Oh, wow. Birdman just, it's a lot like what happened to me this morning. I was actually on my way home from my show last night, and just out of nowhere just got bam. I mean, you didn't even see it coming, and that's exactly what Birdman did to Hansbrough. I mean, it was right after a play. Hansbrough starts running back down court. Birdman comes up and just levels him from the side. And knocked him down. And it was very interesting to me that due to the nature of the hit, that he wasn't ejected from this game.
Well, did you get 2 minutes for interference?
Slashing? Yeah.
Boarding?
Yeah, I mean, anything? Hey, when LeBron got pushed down, you know, that was it. That guy was tossed instantly.
Well, that goes to show you superstar versus non-superstar, and that's what happens in the NBA.
Absolutely. And that's funny that you say that because it brings me to my next question. There's a lot of stuff going on, not only in the NBA, but sports-wide in terms of the way calls get made. Right now, the biggest issue is flopping. Now, you weren't here last week, but our buddy Scott and I actually got into a discussion, if you will, about flopping.
Right.
And I brought up a specific play. He said that it wasn't a flop. It was just, you know, bad acting or whatever. That player ended up getting fined for flopping. Well, now, after this last game, I'm curious. Do we already have a caller? Is this already Scott Pritchard calling in?
It's Scott. You mentioned his name. He heard you.
Yeah. When I said flop, I didn't know that meant he was going to call in.
Happy Friday, Scott.
Right on cue.
Yeah, right on it. Exactly. I think last week the referee ruled that you were flopping in the studio last week, Scott. I think that's what happened with you and Anthony.
That was just another day at the office for me, man. I do that every day. Being Manu Ginobili.
Hey, what was your take on the game last night and with the Heat getting the job done?
I thought that similar to what we talked about yesterday, I mean, as much respect as I have for the Indiana Pacers, they're tough-minded. It's just so tough to sustain that level of mental toughness for an entire game. And Kareem has a way of rising to the top. Talent generally wins. I can relate to the Indiana Pacers because last Friday, as an example, I mean, it's tough to sustain mental toughness an entire game, not to mention an entire hour with my good buddy Anthony Padilla.
Yeah, well, we were just talking. I don't know if you're actually listening to the show. I don't know if you're still on your way to California. We were just talking about what a different kind of treat that it is for you not to be here. As much as I enjoy when you're here, I'm only here once a week. So in a way, I kind of feel abandoned that you would take off on a Friday.
Are you kidding? The Houston Astros are in town, man. I'm going to the Big A to see the Astros get embarrassed by the Los Angeles Angels tonight.
Well, now, it's funny you bring that up because I was just asking Brett. I said, you know, I don't understand how it's more fun to go sit in front of the actual stadium to watch the game on your computer with all the stats versus just staying here to do it. I don't know why you would buy a ticket for that.
He can barbecue out the trunk.
It's a great outlet for me. Newport Beach, Laguna Beach, Huntington Beach, and then the game is topping on the cake because you're right, Anthony Padilla. I have to say that when I'm in Vegas in work mode, I'm at home, I'm in my office, I have the computers going, I have the TVs, but they're on mute, and I'm documenting and tracking everything. But it is kind of nice to get away and be a man of the people and go to the games and enjoy the atmosphere and the nachos and the hot dogs. And I generally will scalp a ticket for $8, $9 to get in the game and sit in a very good seat. That's why I don't do interleague. Like the Dodgers, Angels, man, you have to actually pay full pop or get screwed over by a scalper. But when you see the Astros play the Angels, I mean,
they call you and ask what time can you be there to start the game on time, right?
Exactly right. I was actually, strangely enough, tracking the Miami Marlins game last night, and they were talking about they're doing everything they can in Miami to get people to go to the games, and they have if you're 55 years of age on the first Thursday or a specific, or every Thursday, I think they were saying, free tickets.
You know, they still won't go.
Right, exactly. There are like 12 people there.
They might break the record for futility this year. It's going to be close.
You know, it's funny because I'm sorry, Scott. It's funny that you were talking about tickets and scalping them and free tickets because I could actually see you being the type of person that would buy 3 tickets and then go try to scalp 2 of them just to make enough money to buy popcorn and drinks when you go into the game by yourself.
Well, it's free enterprise, man. This is the United States. It's a capitalistic society. You're going to penalize me for thinking outside the box?
No, not at all. Not at all. I also have I have nothing but clarity on why you drove to California by yourself and have nobody joining you at that game this evening.
Hey, I think that was a dig.
Well, you're 300 miles away, so I'm safe.
It is Friday.
Now, Scott, you know, I actually want to ask you something because I just pulled up something on the computer here, and I'm curious to know what you think because we did talk about the Clippers so much during the season. There's actually a report now. Well, the report was out this week that it was being said without being said that Chris Paul is a big reason that they didn't bring back Vinny Del Negro. Vinny himself said that, you know, yeah, he kind of felt that that was a big part of it. He, Chris Young, is now saying he's really upset, or I'm sorry, Chris Paul is very upset that they're linking him to not bringing him back. What do you think about this? I mean, because I know that you pay attention to the Clippers.
Well, I do, because I'm a professional sports bettor, so I pay attention to all the teams. I think Vinny Del Negro is a good coach, not a great coach, and I don't blame the Clippers for letting him go, but let's not be naive here. I mean, Chris Paul is the coach of the Clippers, and I'm starting to think that he's Dwight Howard's little brother, because he's a bit of an attention whore here. I mean, are you serious? I mean, he, of course, did not have the coach's back, and now he's whining that, oh, people are picking on me because I'm responsible for getting the coach fired. Listen, Chris Paul, CP3, runs the show in L.A. The inmates are running the asylum. This is not news. They're trying to re-sign Chris Paul. He's a free agent. They're trying to get him. And so they are showing good faith by saying, listen, we're getting rid of the coach. And so, I mean, CP3, as Del Negro said last year, he was an intricate part of what they did during the offseason a year ago. So nothing's changed, but he's just being a little whiner.
See, now, it's funny you just brought up that Chris Paul could be Dwight Howard's little brother. It actually looks right now like the Rockets are going to make a strong bid to try to pull Howard away from L.A. And because we know your affinity with Houston, what do you think about that?
Houston Rockets. The Rockets will be an instant contender with Dwight Howard. I mean, they were on the verge. They were, I believe, the eighth seed this year in the NBA playoffs. You bring in a stud horse like Dwight Howard, who is a year removed from back surgery and going to a place where he really wants to go and would be well received. Word on the street had it that it was going to be between, say, the Houston Rockets and the Dallas Mavericks. And I firmly believe, I mean, people have asked me, if I were Dwight Howard, where would I play in BLA, man? $30 million more than anyone else can pay you, and you're in L.A. Houston. The only thing is you have tax breaks in Texas.
I don't know if you guys ever look at the website The Onion, which is the satirical website.
Sure, sure.
They had a quote about a week ago about Dwight Howard, where he might go, and Howard said that he's very interested in going to Houston with their great core of players, Harden and Lynn, so he could obviously love the chance to shatter their chemistry and tear the entire locker room apart. He said the other opportunity would be for him to go to Dallas right now and clash with Dirk Nowitzki and completely ruining that franchise as well, just like he did with the Lakers.
See, and I'm sorry, but I think that's more along the lines of what Dwight Howard brings to the table, Scott. I think he's more of a cancer in this league right now.
I almost feel like if he bails and goes to Houston, then people are going to side with your assessment. I'm fully aware of what took place in Orlando and, of course, in Los Angeles, but I also feel maybe perhaps he's a bit misunderstood. Maybe he's a victim in all of this.
Really?
And perhaps a scapegoat.
Really? Yeah, after years of doing this, now to two teams, he's the victim? I mean, when he's even had multiple chances, what does it take to just shut your mouth and play?
I would say a scapegoat, because you're talking about a guy who, again, came off back surgery. He did not live up to the hype in Los Angeles, but I think that was more to do with Mike D'Antoni. Not to make excuses for Dwight Howard, because he certainly had better years, but not a good fit, Dwight Howard with Mike D'Antoni. In fact, I'm not convinced anyone outside of Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire and Boris Diaw and Jason Richardson and these guys, I don't think anyone's a good fit for Mike D'Antoni.
Okay, so based on your argument saying that he's the scapegoat and that he is, in fact, the victim, well, then shouldn't people be concerned in Texas? Well, he's going to come here, and then, God forbid, he and James Harden don't get along because James Harden went to ASU and he doesn't like that he's got the beard. I mean, that's basically what it's gotten to that kind of point where it doesn't really matter. There's going to be something, and there's going to be an excuse for why this guy either doesn't produce or tears the team apart.
No, I just think that we might consider cutting the guy some slack because it was coming off back surgery. And I think, too, life is a great teacher. I think that he understands that perhaps he was a cancer in Orlando. But in L.A., I'm not convinced. I mean, Lakers had a lot of issues, and Dwight Howard was a small part of that.
They did have a lot of issues. And I thought from the very beginning, Scott, that chemistry was not going to work. They were old with Steve Nash, who was also injured. You bring in another big guy in Howard, who's another big ego, who's injured. Then, of course, you've got Kobe, who's already there saying, wait a second, I got more guys I got to share the basketball with. Have you guys not forgotten who the man is here? It's me. So I just didn't think the chemistry was going to work there. The interesting thing about Dwight Howard, if he does go to Houston, in all seriousness, is Kevin McHale, who is obviously a guy who had great success as a big man in the league. And when you look at where Dwight Howard has played before with the Munchkin and Stan Van Gundy, and then a Mike D'Antoni guy who doesn't know a forward from a popcorn vendor with the way his play is, it might be a good fit for him from a standpoint of what Kevin McHale might be able to bring him.
Well, he certainly would fit in better with the system in Houston as opposed to L.A., as you mentioned, Brett. I mean, I echo your thoughts, the fact that Lakers, a bad fit with Mike D'Antoni. They're old. And, you know, Kobe Bryant coming off major, major surgery. But I know my good buddy Anthony Padilla can't relate to this because Dwight Howard, unlike Anthony Padilla, is in demand. Dwight Howard, the Lakers want him. Paul Gasol and Kobe Bryant want him to stay in L.A. And, of course, the Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, and a myriad of other teams want Dwight Howard on their team.
You know, I don't know, Scott. I don't know that his value... I don't know that his value is still as high. One, because, first of all, you keep bringing up the back surgery. Well, at what point is that not an excuse? There's a lot of guys that are coming off surgeries, and we don't cut them slack. Once they're back, they're back.
The guy is a very good rebounder. He's a very good defender, good shot blocker. He obviously has some challenges at the free throw line, but big men are a premium. They're hard to come by.
They are, but are they as important as they used to be? Look at Miami on the verge of maybe winning a second title in a row, really without a big guy. Of course, you've got Tim Duncan, you've got Dwight Howard, you've got Tyson Chandler, you have Roy Hibbert. But that's about it, really, of guys who are of significant influence in the league when it comes to centers right now. And you don't. I mean, do you have to have a superstar guy in the middle, like you might have had to have, of course, back in the days of Kareem and obviously Walton and Russell and all those guys?
I think you do. And I'll echo what Irvin Magic Johnson has said. I mean, that's the Golden State Warriors with Bogut. They need another big dude. Now, the Miami Heat, they're the exception to the rule because of the big three and the fact they have depth and they're proven and they're in the weak-ass Eastern Conference. But for all intent and purpose, look at the San Antonio Spurs. You need a big man, some guy named Tim Duncan. Been around for 16, 17 years, five NBA final appearances. I mean, you need a big man inside.
All right.
Well, I don't know about all this nonsense because now we're talking about the Spurs again, which doesn't make me happy at all. The only reason I was even happy with the Spurs doing anything is because I know my buddy Scott, it helped him. It afforded him a nice win for the season that he placed that bet.
Well,
and
he's got an extra $9 to buy a ticket
right.
Today to go see the Astros.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's funny is I believe today was the day that he was supposed to take all of us out to lunch to celebrate that win, and somehow he ends up in California, Mr. I love going to games all of a sudden. So,
is that what this is about, Scott? Skipping out on lunch?
I did try to get away. Go ahead.
This is what this is all about, you skipping out for lunch?
Well, actually, if you've been listening to the show, I mean, I pride myself on trying to get away. Occasionally, it's a great diversion, a great outlet for me. You remember in November, I went to Los Angeles and knocked out not one, but two NBA games, 24-hour window, two high-profile marquee games, the Clippers taking on the Miami Heat and the Laker girls taking on my San Antonio Spurs. I sat next to Manu Ginobili's wife about five rows behind the Spurs bench. But again, there's a difference between watching the Clippers Heat as opposed to the Lakers Spurs and then tonight watching the Astros against the Angels. But again, I go for the cheapest ticket because I think $9 to watch the Astros play is still overpriced.
It might be, although the Astros, I think, used up all their runs yesterday in one inning that they are allotted for the
entire
month.
Well, they did. In the sixth inning last night on the road against Colorado, that was, to me, an anomaly. But, you know, I look at this Houston Astro team taking on the Angels tonight. It's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously the Angels at home, a big fat favorite. They've looked good the past couple of games against the L.A. Dodgers, a couple of one-run wins. But we'll see how it plays out. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you should, because actually you have a chance of being a part of history. This Houston Astros team is on pace to actually break the record for most losses in a season. So you might be able to say that you were there for it.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, the Miami Marlins might have something to say about that as well, because as bad as the Astros
they're brutal,
are,
man.
I'm starting to think the Marlins are even worse. Although the Marlins, the one thing they do, they've been involved in a lot of low-scoring games. They pitch pretty well. They just do not catch.
They're a good team. I was watching that Tampa Marlins game yesterday, or I've watched this series, actually, over the past six games. Miami doesn't have a bad team. They've got a young team just can't seem to put runs together. They even get guys on base.
They're 13 and 41.
You know what?
So
with
far.
That kind of wisdom on the odds couple, I mean, the Marlins are like 13 and 41, and only Anthony Padilla would say they're a good team.
Now, this is
I would agree with that.
This is coming from the guy who last week decided to drop a. The Angels, everybody, they've won five in a row. This team is as real as it gets. It doesn't matter that they lost 36 out of the first 40. Now that they've won five in a row against the Kansas City Royals, this is the team to watch. Look, it doesn't matter what your record is. I didn't say they're going to be good this year. I'm saying they're promising going forward. As you know,
I pointed out in the year 2020?
Well,
yeah, they could be
listen, with the lineup time. With the lineup they're putting on the field in the year 2020, this roster is still only going to be 27 years old.
Yeah, they got a bunch of babies out there. But unfortunately, that's probably the worst run team right now in all of sports.
Sure.
They do well, then they get rid of everybody. Or last year, they spent all the money, as we saw with Reyes and Burley and Heath Bell and whoever else they brought, Hanley Ramirez, and pretty much, boom, everybody's gone. A year later with another monster fire sale. They had done that a couple of times before, but Jeffrey Loria is really only, basically, he fleeced the taxpayers to get that beautiful new ballpark for the sole intention of dumping the team as quickly as possible and cashing a big fat paycheck so he could join Scott watching the Astros in Anaheim later on today.
Well, that's good input and good info, Brett. I appreciate you sharing. I do want to back up just for a second to address something that Anthony had mentioned in regards to my What Say You a week ago today, talking about the Angels. They had won five consecutive games, and we're all about being ahead of the curve, the learning curve or the trend, the streak. They went on to win 8-9 consecutive games, and, you know, we know and we understand from a sports betting standpoint, out of all the teams in baseball, it's about cashing tickets. The Angels have been a big, fat disappointment in terms of betting on the side, but the total, no team has been better playing the over, and it makes sense because we called this out early April, Anthony, myself, and of course Brett, as far as the Angels have a very bad pitching staff, especially when Weaver was out. He's back now looking good, feeling good, but their middle relievers are cold. I mean, their bullpen is weak. They're starting pitching, you know, worst in baseball, as effective about up to about a few days ago. And then, of course, they hit the ball. 1-2-9, they hit the ball. So they've been a very good over team, the number one team in all of baseball, cashing over tickets.
Well, they won last night a game that went under against the Dodgers, and they survived that particular spot. And you're right, Scott, they are playing better. The interesting thing about the Angels, though, is they're a team that is only 14-13 at home. So when teams really do make a charge, they really assert themselves at home, and the Angels have not yet done that. They're still four games under 500, but certainly playing better than they were. And when you look at the division they're in, with the Astros now in that division, along with the Mariner team that's struggling right now, there's plenty of wins for them in their division, and it starts tonight with the Astros.
Well, it does, and here's the thing. I mean, they also have a losing record against left-handed pitchers. I mean, last night they won. The night before they won. Tonight they're facing a lefty. But it's interesting to me because Josh Hamilton, Brett, you and I have talked about this at length. We know that he's a good player, obviously, but he's weak with a capital W against left-handed pitching. So last night he was scratched from the lineup. Why? Not rest. He was scratched from the lineup because of back spasms. I'm thinking, really? And then it's the eighth inning. Guess who's playing the outfield? Josh Hamilton, when they took out the lefty and brought in another pitcher. So we'll see if he plays tonight.
Well, the managers are obviously setting themselves up where almost every time Hamilton comes up after the seventh inning or later, he's going to be facing a left-handed pitcher. So it'll be interesting to see how Mike Socia handles that in some key games down the road. But I don't, Scott, you mentioned yesterday that you had a little, we were talking off the air a little bit about the Royals and Cardinals game. The Cardinals were a big favorite. The Royals were about $1.55. And I'm not sure, you were talking about liking the dog in the game, whether you played it or not. And the fact, and if you did you sit through the 4.5-hour rain delay to cash that ticket? Because you had to be a little sweating if you did play it, because the Royals took the lead in the top of the ninth. They were down 2-1. They scored three runs in the ninth. They lead 4-2. Torrential rains come down. And if the umpires decide to cancel the game, It would have reverted back to the end of the eighth inning, and the Cardinals would have won the game 2-1. But umpire Joe West decided to stay up until 3:15 a.m. local time to finish the game so Royals bettors could cash their tickets. I thought it was very nice of him.
Well, it's very interesting that you say that, because actually I got a much better price than the plus 55 cents that you referred to. But as my good buddy Anthony Padilla knows, I don't sit through anything. Least of all, a rain delay of a baseball game. The only thing I'll sit through is his show, because it's a great, great show. Comedy After Dark, Anthony Padilla, LVH, LVH spelled just the way it sounds. I'm telling you, I'm disappointed I'm not going to be there tonight. Anthony, I will ask you, is it possible? I mean, I'm calling in for my show, The Odds Couple. Is it possible that I just call in my set and you just hook the...
You want to do a guest set? What we'll do is we'll have Jeremy intro you, and then we'll just we'll put the phone up to the microphone.
I think you'd have an inflatable blow-up doll of Scott. Inflatable Scott.
We could, yeah. Scott. We could do that. We could just have Jeremy stand on a chair. Because he is like a mini version of you now that you shaved your head. Now, I actually haven't seen you. Have you reshaved that, or are you still letting that grow out?
I'm letting it grow. But, you know, I do present better on the phone than I do in person, so that's why I'm suggesting this.
Sure. Well, you know what? It's an option. I mean, we can definitely try it, because I was actually thinking about canceling the show tonight. I figured, hey, if Scott can't make it, what's the point, really?
That would make sense, and that would be... Again, all I can say is that would be advantageous, because, I mean, what's the point if you're not going to have anyone in the audience if I'm not going to be there?
Well, I know just the fact, normally I'm here with you. I've been with you every Friday for the past going on a year now, and I've got to say, just this one time of you being on the phone, I'm actually more entertained from having you on the phone than every week when I'm right next to you.
Ooh, boy. Jacob liked that one, Scott.
I appreciate the kind word.
Oh, I thought we lost him there for a second.
He must be driving around Visage Road or something.
I was pausing for effect. Silence is your friend.
Yeah, see that the pause doesn't have quite the same cachet when it's on the phone.
Yeah.
You just think that the call dropped.
We had to check your pulse for a second. Are you still there, Scott?
Now, are you still on your way to California, or are you already there? Because we want you to be safe, because as I was talking with these fine gentlemen about earlier, Jacob on the producing side here at KSHP and my buddy Brett here, and Scott, I'm sitting in your seat actually today. And I don't know what it was that was in the air, but I was involved in a car accident this morning. Everybody was okay, but I realized, like, it's important not to be on the phone. So are you safe right now?
I am. I'm driving. I'm in Cali. I'm on my phone. It's illegal. But again, you know, this is the Wild West. I think we have too many laws, too many rules. Now, California, it's not enough that they have to incorporate a law that you can't be on your cell phone when you're driving. Now, Nevada, copycat law, we're not able to be on our cell phone. I'm here to tell you, I think the law is unsafe. I mean, as I'm driving in California, drinking, shaving, and now texting and calling, I have to look over my shoulder constantly looking for cops because it's illegal. It's very dangerous.
Well, I'm sure if you do get pulled over and they find out who you are, that you'll be just fine.
I just mentioned your name and they hauled me off to jail.
Right. Well, that's the best way to go. Well, I can't imagine a scenario where they're not listening to the show.
Hey, let's do, while Scott's with us and we're going to let him go, let's do Spin to Win. And then, Scott, we'll get your take on the game for tomorrow, game 6. Here, we got to turn this way so the camera.
Oh, so okay. Oh, yeah. See, I'm not used to being in this seat. There we go. All right. So
great. The only concern I have is Anthony strong enough to lift that wheel.
He did it. He got it up there. All right, Anthony. Give it
all right. Now, are we keeping this like normal? Are we doing this where I'm spinning the wheel, and so everybody out there listening knows this is Spin to Win. You know, we do spin the wheel. We're forced to take opposing sides. Smart bettors bet with their head, not with their heart. Now, normally when we do this, Scott, you take the first team. So are we still going to roll with that?
Sure.
First of all, who's on the wheel?
We'll get there.
We'll get there in a minute. We'll tell you who you got. You'll be ready, Scott. Don't worry.
Okay. So today we're going with game 6. We have.
Oh, I was going to say Manchester United playing Chelsea. Didn't work out that way.
We have the Miami Heat versus the Indiana Pacers, and we're going to spin the wheel. Whoever lands on our buddy Scott Pritchard in California will be taking that team.
All right,
Scott.
Scott, you have the Indiana Pacers plus 3 at home for game 6.
Indiana Pacers plus 3. Remember, this team, the first two games were a photo. Could have went either way. The Pacers covered both of those games. Last night, they were in it to win it, tight game until midway through the third quarter. LeBron James took over, and they ended up winning by a score of 90-79. Indiana Pacers, game six, do or die, one and done. Must-win situation, must-win game. They defended their home court well the last game, the last time they were there. And so I think the Pacers plus three presents some value, home court, home crowd, and I expect Vogel. He's too good of a coach not to make adjustments. Not that they'll win the game. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Pacers win, but 3 points, it's a bit happy. Get on the Pacers, plus the three, see the cashier.
All right.
As always, Scott, really, really admirable effort. But come on, man. Let's be real. This is, I don't care if you're in California or not. You know that this is not going down. The heat is on. The Pacers cannot handle it. What you just said is the very... LeBron James is taking over this series. Period. It's now at that point where he now does what he now does. How's that for a Pritchardism? He now does what he now... He's going to do what he now does.
Is that the dictionary? Pritchardisms?
It will be.
There you go.
It will be. Yeah, it doesn't matter if Bosch and D-Wade show up. It doesn't matter if Birdman gets tossed from the game because LeBron wants another ring. He's focused. He's intent on this. He's not on Twitter. He's not on social media, which, Scott, you seem to think doesn't matter, but you don't realize it's giving him the ability to turn it on in the third quarter and take over the game. And now, just consider Game 6 the third quarter of Game 5. I see LeBron coming out just dominating this entire game. Indiana really, at this point, doesn't have enough left. As much as they've really given it a go, they don't have enough left in the tank. Even at home, which I still say, Brett, I don't believe you were here when we talked about Indiana a couple of weeks ago. I'm almost embarrassed for Indiana, the way that home team, or the way that home crowd reacts, even when they're up. It's like, this is the playoffs. You guys, like last night, perfect example. That Heat crowd was in it. You know, they go up by 10, 13, and that crowd just, you just feel the energy shift. And Indiana, it doesn't matter. They do not bring that to the table. Hmm. And that's crucial in a game like this.
Sure, absolutely. I tend to agree. I think the Heat get the job done. To me, the biggest game in a series, if a series is tied 2-2, Game 5 is so critical, and the winner of Game 5, about 90% of the time, goes on and wins that series. So, as Scott, you would say, it is over. The series is over.
Well, again, it goes back to what we said going into this series, and you politely asked yesterday how I saw this series playing out, and I said it was over because the Miami Heat, it's the best 2 out of 3 series going into last night's game, and even if they stumble in Game 6, you're still going to be a 7, 7.5, 8-point favorite at home. It'll basically be 8 against 5. The league, David Stern, the corrupt individual that he is, the NBA refs, are just as corrupt, if not more. It's basically 8 against 5 if it should go Game 7. Tie that in with the fact that the Heat are better. They have more talent. And so, I mean, again, this series, for all intent and purpose, it's a great story. I love the Pacers. I love what they represent, but they're just a little bit out of their league.
Sounds good. Scott, we know you're driving. We'll let you go. We got to take our break. And you have fun this weekend in the Big A. Watch the Astros and the Angels. Maybe if the A's came to town, you could do all the A's. It'd be like Triple A for baseball.
I might check that out. I love what you guys are doing. I love you both. Keep up the good work.
Hey, Scott. Scott, have a hot dog for me, will you? The whole gluten thing. I haven't had a ballpark hot dog in a while, so if you could throw down a couple, I'd appreciate it.
I'll have more than two, my friend.
All right, buddy.
You got the right guy.
We'll talk to you tonight when you call in for your guest set.
Oh, great. I'll look forward to it.
Perfect. We will as well.
All right, that's Scott. Scott Pritchard with us on the phone lines. He is in transit, as they would say, to California to watch some baseball tonight.
Oh, Scott. Isn't it amazing? Like, when you can just get up and go, that's the game that you decided to drive to California for.
It makes good sense because the fact that he can go to a game that nobody else is interested in.
Absolutely.
He can have some room. Nobody's sitting around because Scott's needs some.
He could watch
room.
It from a different place in the stadium every inning.
I don't know if you heard about the new bet that he has. Did you hear about his new bet?
I don't. Oh, with Jessica. I believe I did, yes.
Yeah, Jessica bet him he's got to lose 22 pounds.
Yeah, he does not stand a chance.
Or he has to go and take a pole dancing class.
I cannot.
With Jessica.
Get the pole ready.
I want to know. It's got to be a fire pole, doesn't it? That's got to be a big pole.
Does it
pole.
Matter?
Is it a flag pole?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I can't. I know what it was like when he was on the brink of realizing he was going to have to get rid of his hair.
Right.
man, you know right now he's not sweating it. And I mean that literally. He is not sweating off any of those pounds, and he needs to start because once it comes, when it gets to be late July and he is still 19 pounds away,
right,
it's going to hit hard that he is going to be on a pole. I mean, and it's like he likes to say, another Pritchardism, it is documented.
It is. That's
so,
sure.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. You want to take us a break?
All right, we will do that. Folks, you're listening to The Odds Couple. You've got Anthony Padilla joined by Brett Grant. Scott Pritchard is in Cali. Come right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Odds Couple right here on KSHP 1400 AM. You're also watching us on Vegas Video Network. Don't forget, tell your friends. You can tune in. You can email us. We always welcome emails. Odds Couple. I don't know the website. I don't know the web address,
odds
actually.
Couple at, I don't either.
Is it Odds Couple? Odds Couple at VegasVideoNetwork.com. There we go. Why don't I just look at the monitor?
I was gonna
so guess
that.
I know. Well, I've got all these different ones. There you go. Email us, Odds Couple at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Also, we'd love to hear from you. We do have web based voicemail. If you go to VegasVideoNetwork.com/live during the show, click on the little box that pops up in the right-hand corner. Then it comes over to the center of the screen. Click on Start Recording, and you can leave us a message. You can leave us a pick. Yeah, actually, I'd leave a couple of picks for Scott Pritchard if I were you, because I believe he's got a couple of losers here this week.
Ooh.
I know he's riding. I think he's 13-4
in his last 7. 13-5 going into yesterday's game, and I forget what he had yesterday. I think actually he took a game that lost 1-0 in the 11th inning. So I think that's why he left town. He's lost 2.
That's it. Yeah. So he's going back to try to clear his mind. But I know that he, just as you, can listen on iTunes. You can watch us on YouTube as well, Vegas Video Network over on YouTube, Roku. And, of course, we always love to hear from you. We do have the live chat going during the show, so please tune into that. Or you can just call us right here. I mean, we just had to spend that time with our buddy Scott Pritchard, and I'm sorry if the phone lines, we didn't get to you because of that call, but please give us a call.
Sounds good.
Now, this is a big, big part of the show that I love being here for every week, because there's so many things in the world of sports that drive us nuts, not only from a betting perspective, but just in general, and it's time. Brett, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? This is a story that broke yesterday. It got a lot of play, but I didn't get to give my take on it. But the Ohio State president, the obnoxious state university, that's what the O stands for, right? Or is it O for SEC? Is that what it stands for?
O-S-E-C.
I think it's 0-9 against the SEC. That's the Ohio State. Gordon Gee, I add a K to it, as you see there, because he struck out yesterday when they're talking about why isn't Notre Dame a member of the Big Ten. Gordon said, you can't trust those Catholics. He then went on to say, those priests, they're holy on Sunday, but they're holy hell the rest of the week. So what did the Big Ten decide to do over the years? They decided to add pedophile state university. I'm sorry, it's Penn State. And the great academic institution and wonderful playground of America, Lincoln, Nebraska, as their places, but not one of the most illustrious universities in all of America in Notre Dame. Yes, I understand Notre Dame wants to have their cake and eat it too, but really, do we have to throw all the Catholics under the bus, Mr. Gordon Gee? I'm not sure why he's still around. He does raise a lot of money, I guess, for the university, but this is the same guy, by the way, who said remember the Sugar Bowl a couple of years ago when Terrell Pryor and half the team was ineligible because of the tattoo scandal?
Yep.
He said, well, you know, the Sugar Bowl, Well, they, of course they're going to play in the Sugar Bowl, as opposed to them all being suspended because none of them should have been able to play. So this guy's a fraud. And for what he said yesterday, are you kidding me?
You know, this is going to be an interesting situation right here that I'm about to tread upon, because I understand that my are you kidding me was one shade of gray, and I was going to go into the world of, you know, whatever it is that's going on with missed calls versus blown calls versus superstar calls versus nothing calls. But as I'm sitting here listening to you and reading a couple other things online here, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that we now live in an era where everybody wants to go online to ask out people and make a funny YouTube video to ask out a celebrity or an athlete.
Right.
This started out with like high school kids, you know, and military personnel doing it to the most famous person they could find. And it really puts that person on the spot. Well, you know what? That was an average person doing it. Now there are celebrities doing it. Now you have athletes hitting up other famous athletes or supermodels on Twitter. You know what? I don't need to see that thrown in my face. I understand already that I have no chance with some of these women, but I don't need to now watch the guy who I already knew was going to get her anyway put it out there on Twitter like the poor sap, like, oh, well, hey, I think you're really attractive. And come on, man, you play for the Spurs. And you got to put it out there on Twitter like you have no shot with her. We all know
you don't have to.
Exactly. You can get her number from anybody you want. And you put it on Twitter like, well, gosh, I think you're really pretty on that new cover of the magazine that I got at the same party we were at. But I wanted to put it out there on Twitter just in case. Man, just get the number so the rest of us feel like we still have a shot with this woman that we know we have no chance with
whatsoever. Well, it kind of started a few years ago with the military guy asking, what, Mila Kunis to the Marine ball or whatever it was and put her on the spot.
And, yep, and then it went straight from her to Justin Timberlake.
Come on, do it. And,
yes.
And they ended up doing it. So now it's really – it's
well, now it's all over the place. It's amazing.
And celebrity. Yes. Is that how Tiger got the skier, Lindsey Vonn?
I think so. He just tweeted her, yeah.
Hey, Lindsey, you look hot in your ski – you look like a little ski bunny. Let's go.
Well, I think what happened with Lindsey was he thought he was tweeting one of the Lindseys who were one of the cocktail waitresses here in Vegas. And he meant to put in VON, and he put in VONN, so he didn't realize that he was getting her. Yeah.
Or the Perkins Pancake Girl from Orlando.
Right. See, and you got to admire Tiger. I mean, because it's not like when you're going to cheat with 17 different women, I mean, he really is a man of the people. He just went for the everyday girl that the rest of us are trying to get at the club.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, she looks good in her uniform over there. It's got a little syrup spots, a little powdered sugar on it.
Doesn't matter to him. Did you ever see Tin Cup?
Yeah.
I mean, what a great
exactly.
Tiger Woods. You know, that's his Waffle House. Vegas is his Waffle House.
There you go. That's for sure.
So that's it. That's what's frustrating us in the world of sports. That's about it, though. Certainly not losing, because I don't think any of us lose.
No, well.
Yeah, I mean. Occasionally,
yes. We have our off days.
Sure,
as, I would say.
As does everybody.
We didn't talk about one of the things we were going to talk about with the flopping and the calls for superstars and refereeing in general. Scott and I have been talking about this quite a bit, but it doesn't matter the sport right now. The incompetence
it really doesn't.
Around the leagues right now, especially in basketball and in baseball, there's been so many bad calls that it just going to drive people crazy, especially the average fan.
Yeah, and it's really getting uncomfortable for me, especially as a baseball fan. I mean, because it's getting hard for me to know even how I feel, because I don't know that I've ever been a baseball purist per se, because I'm one of the first people that will argue, look, I don't have a problem with how Barry Bonds acquired his home run titles. I don't have a problem with any of these other guys doing what they're doing. Because it's always been done, you know, and what we now term illegal, I mean, the average person needs to realize it's not like, I mean, yes, you do have your exceptions where you've got a guy in a dark room, you know, getting the syringe to the thigh, you know, and he's just getting inflated. But generally, when it's stuff like deer antler spray, you know, to heal a shoulder, and it just means you're coming back a couple of weeks early and it's strengthening a little bit more, you know, sooner than it normally would. But that gets in the lump conversation of, right. Well, this guy used performance-enhancing drugs. Technically, yeah, by the letter of the law, yes. But there are rumors and there are stories about, in Babe Ruth's day, that these guys were taking horse pills. Difference is, they weren't testing for it.
Right.
It wasn't illegal. So,
well, I think there's a couple of, if you look at two, let's talk about two significant guys. You had Lance Armstrong and the Tour de France stuff going on, and all of those guys were doping and doing stuff.
Yes.
And you could say, well, Lance, yes, he won seven titles, and yes, he was doping, but the guy who finished second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, all the way down the line, they were all doing the
Absolutely.
Same thing. So there wasn't a clean guy who got screwed. He was the best of the dopers.
Sure.
So maybe the guy that finished 35th, hey, I'm doing this clean back here. Maybe he's got a gripe, but the other guys, I don't necessarily see it. And if you look at McGuire and Sosa and the guys in 1998, for me as a Cardinal fan, and yes, you know, I'm disappointed that this stuff happened, but those two guys in particular, before Barry Bonds, they saved baseball. Remember we lost the World
yep.
Series?
Yep.
And yes, baseball turned a blind eye. I'm not excusing it. I don't like it. It happened, but baseball wasn't testing for it. These guys, whether it was in the days of Doc Ellis on LSD out there pitching in the 70s or Dave Parker snorting the first baseline on his way out through the outfield as they did in those days in the 70s with Pittsburgh and all that stuff that was going on. But for those two guys, that home run race when McGuire broke Roger Maris's record and hit 70 that year, and I think Sosa hit 66, they brought legions of fans back to baseball. So if they – I'm not going to say baseball would have never come back, but despite all the bad decisions that Bud Selig has made over the years, he should be kissing those two guys' rings
he's
for
the
bringing
worst.
People back to the turnstiles.
Well, and you know what? It's hurting again. Right now, as of a week ago, baseball attendance this year is down already, I believe it was 600,000 people. That's scary.
Well, because nobody's gone to a Marlin game yet.
Right. You've got that entire stadium just sitting there, just waiting for anything. But yeah, they even built a club out there to try to entice those people.
Right.
To, you know, come to a club and there's a baseball game going on. That's pretty much
it's like
out there.
Hey, we're at a great club next to an empty lot. It's got a lot of green grass, but there's
Oh, look
on.
At this club. It looks like a baseball field. Right. They even have the go-go dancers in uniforms and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't even know if any of those people would know what a baseball field was.
That's true.
They're so whacked out.
That's true.
They're whacked out on.
See, and
what is the club... Not that you would know this necessarily. I'm not throwing you under the bus. The club drug, so to speak, of the day these days. What is the hip thing the kids are doing?
I don't know. I know it's been ecstasy for a while, and I don't know if that's still, because they rename it. Like now it's called Molly. So I don't know if by the fact that they renamed it that kind of re-energizes
thing.
It,
or if it's the same thing,
or if it's something different. Yeah, right. I'm not sure, but. But, you know, now, why do we only have a problem with, and I know it's because it's enhancing performance, but think about the times that Dennis Rodman, you know, you hear the stories about the times that he played games brutally hungover,
right.
You know, and stuff like that. Like, again, we don't care if people are doing that kind of stuff. It's only when they're supposedly cheating. And why? Society, we don't even know what we want. We get mad when they lie. But then we get mad when they don't perform up to our expectations.
Well, it's been going on in football forever. And
yeah,
it's just a difference
absolutely.
We hold the baseball
But we
players.
Don't care about football.
Well, if you remember back, and we got to do our right sides in a minute because we're going to be running out of time. Remember when the Carolina Panthers played the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl? Wasn't that long ago, maybe 7-8 years ago. The next year, okay, you got five guys on the offensive line. So in January or February, here's the Super Bowl. The Panthers were in the Super Bowl. The following year, 80% of those guys on the offensive line, the starting lineup for the Panthers, four of those guys were out of the league for steroid use. Only one guy was left. Nobody said a word about that. It's just different sports have different standards, and we've been dealing with guys and steroids in football forever.
Well, and there we go. And just a very, very quick transition back from the steroids, because we started this with flopping. Different sports, different standards, different athletes, different standards. Superstar athletes always have gotten that extra call, that blind eye. It seems now so more than ever.
Right.
And
right.
I don't like that.
There's a book, The Jordan Rules, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you discuss things like this to know that we're still going to turn around and bet on these games.
Exactly.
Which clearly there's nothing right going on about them, but it doesn't matter because as long as you can bet on them, people are going to do it. And as long as you've got winners like myself and Brett and Scott Pritchard doing nothing but winning, we need to get that track, Jacob. We need to get All I Do Is Win because that is the theme song for this show. Because although we do have the occasional loser, I went on that 5-month streak. I lost the game. I'm back on it. And we'll get back to that in a second. But this week's going to be interesting, actually. I believe you've got a...
Yeah, we got to get started here with the right side.
All right, the right side. Man, I don't know if I should go first because I don't. When is the last time that you you're riding a 2-game losing streak?
Yeah, I lost last night. Okay. As I said before the show, I had 3 underdogs I liked yesterday. 2 of the 3 won, so I had a winning day. Unfortunately, I gave out the loser on the air. So it's just the way it goes. Well, but we had 2 other nice winners yesterday. But we're actually, ironically, today, I think, on the same game. Scott and I have done this before, but we're on opposite sides of the same game, right?
Interesting, considering there's 9 different baseball games going on today.
Are we on Tampa and Cleveland? Is that the game we're on?
That's the one.
Yeah. Half the time I forget what I send Jacob. He has to remind me. It's like senility.
Well, and the reason I took this game is because it was 8.5. Right. And knowing these two teams very well, I watch the Rays every day. Okay. And I've been watching Cleveland quite a bit more. That's a fun team there. Both of them. Well, the Rays with Joe Maddon, but Terry Francona, just wherever he goes.
He's been great. And I like the over in the game. The over total is 8.5. And I always look at, as Scott taught me, 9 is a very key number when it comes to American League games because of the designated hitter. And we're back now to regular league play as away from interleague play. So we got 2 teams that are both playing pretty well, both swinging the bats pretty well, both identical records of 29 and 24. Matt Moore is the one thing I worry about. He's been absolutely terrific, 8-0 on the season with a 2.21 ERA against Gleyber for the Indians in this spot, whose ERA is about 4.5 and on the rise. But I'm just thinking, if there's ever a spot where Matt Moore is not going to be really good, it's tonight against a pretty good team in Cleveland at home that can score some runs. I like Nick Swisher. I like what that team can do offensively. I'm going to go over the 8.5 and buck that trend a little bit. I like the total. I like some scoring in the game today.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, in a game like this with everything you just said, the arguments kind of go both ways to prove each of our points. For the same reason you don't like Matt Moore in this one is the reason I do. Because he's 8-0, and his last start was actually the first start of the season that the team didn't win. That broke a streak of 11 starts dating back to last year for him. 11 straight starts where they won a game that he started. And even in that game, he pitched well. Unfortunately, yeah. You know, they blew it in the 9th. Rodney blew a three-run lead for him, which unfortunately he's just had that kind of year. However, Matt Moore is just lights out.
He is.
Matt Moore is actually more lights out this year than David Price was last year. And that's scary. This kid's 23 years old, Brett.
He's awesome.
What is that like?
He's better than David Price.
Yeah, he hate to say it, but he is. He's very good. And
are you ready for here's some minutia for you. The Rays are 6-0 in their last 6 Friday night games to the over. Just to mention that to you.
Which is why
we love
it
the
is
over.
Going my right side. That perfect setup. For me, the right side is the under 8.5, and it is because only that half point. That halfie's all I needed, because if it were 8, I would have gone the other way.
Well, if it was 9, I'd agree with you. But yeah. You know, for me, I'm thinking I'm going to try the
but
over.
See, I don't know. I don't think, I've been, even over these last 6 games against Miami, you know, the Rays were putting up, what they've been doing lately is putting up runs late.
Right.
Putting up a couple early on, and then attacking another 2, 3, 4, you know, from the 7th on. But they just left Miami. They're playing an afternoon game, I believe. No, they're playing an evening game.
Yeah.
In Cleveland. But, again, Cleveland's a good team, but I don't see that many runs going up tonight with these
Indians
pitchers.
Have had some problems in their bullpen, so if the Indians happen to have a lead, you would expect for them to give up some runs perhaps to the end. Chris Perez, who blew a bunch of saves in Boston last weekend, they ironically found out, well, gosh, you need to go on the disabled list. Isn't that amazing how that all happens?
It's funny how, you know, all of a sudden, yeah.
You got a tweak there.
Well, maybe that's – yeah, folks, that's really – we've sent Scott Pritchard to the disabled list.
Exactly, at least for today.
Here on the show.
He'll be back on Monday.
He might be back next week, but we can't
guarantee
anything.
Well, if he stays off the phone, he's got a better chance of being back on Monday. Let's put it that way.
Sure. Well, we'll see. We'll see. But so we're going with the same game, yeah. And I've never even done that with Scott.
Well, the good news is if people have been watching the show or listening to the show the last couple of days, unfortunately Scott and I are both on 2-game losing streaks. So today they're going to get – at least a win.
Which is why, folks, you need to go with me, because I'm actually back on the right side, not of myself, but of everything that we have going on. I had that winning streak going for the first 4 months. Unfortunately, I lost 2 weeks ago because of a stupid error in a dumb game that I should have not bet, and I owned up to that last week. But I got back on the right track, taking the Heat and the Pacers. I'm winning. You're winning. What do we got, Brett? That's it. It's been a fun day.
We gotta go.
We got to go.
You got to get some sleep.
Folks, this is the Odds Couple. KSHP 1400 AM. We'll see you.